Dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, all saints from the branch churches and the local sanctuaries, GCN viewers, and all children of God who attend the worship online. The special setting of the Genesis chapter 3 was the Garden of Eden in the second heaven. The background of the account in the Genesis chapter 4 that I will begin to explain now is this earth that belongs to the first heaven. Genesis chapter 3:23 says that therefore the Lord God sent him out from the Garden of Eden to cultivate the ground from which he was taken. I explained that the ground from which he was taken has two meanings. First, it refers to the ground of this earth. It's because God created Adam from the dust of the ground of this earth. Therefore, cultivating the ground from which he was taken means that Adam now has to cultivate the ground. Secondly, it refers to the hard fields in the spiritual sense, and now the process of the human cultivation that cultivates the human hard fields has begun in earnest. By the way, where is the place that Adam settled down? It was the place where today's nation of Israel is located. The place where Adam first settled down was later called the land of Canaan. It was because the grandson of Noah, Canaan, settled down there and prospered after the judgment of the flood. Later, God gave this land of Canaan to Abraham and his descendants for an everlasting possessions. Genesis chapter 17:8 says, I will give you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possessions, and I will be their God. And this promise was actually kept. After the Israelites left Egypt and they lived in the wilderness for 40 years, they settled in the land of Canaan. And then about 1,500 years later, Jesus, the Savior of the mankind, was born in this land of Canaan. And this land will be important stage of the history until very last moment of the human cultivation. God the Father foreknew like this and let Adam settle down on this place. However, the place where Adam wishes to live was not the land. Where do you think it was? It was the Nile River area of Egypt. In the far distant past from this time, Adam favored this place most. While he was living in the Garden of Eden, he visited the place where whenever he came down to the earth. By that time, Egypt, especially the Nile River area, was far more beautiful than it is now. This refers to the Egypt thousands of years ago, not the present. It's now a desert. In all aspects, the Garden of Eden is so beautiful. The earth cannot even be compared with it. Yet the Egyptian Nile River basin on earth was a beautiful landscape that captivated Adam's heart. For Adam, the place had an exotic flavor and a unique charm. So Adam had chosen this area of Egypt as a place where he built pyramids. Adam constructed the pyramids to reveal the glory and the dignity of God the Trinity. In addition, he also ascribed the commemorative meaning into them that he was a ruler of the earth. He used to the reign in the first and the second heaven. Therefore, when Adam left Eden, he wanted to settle in Egypt, but God's thought was different from Adam's. God the Father conceived the entire picture of the human cultivation and placed Adam in the most suitable place. In this way, the present land of Israel is an important place from the first moment of human cultivation to the last moment. And so, God had Adam settle down in the place that is the area today's Israel. Adam is the Garden of Eden his entire life. At least there was a spiritual passageway by the time that God placed in the area to connect to the Garden of Eden. Although Adam could not return to the Garden of Eden, he could hear news from the Garden of Eden through the passageway. All the people in the Eden were children of Adam, and they also missed Adam very much. So they used to visit Earth through the passage. This allowed them to meet occasionally, although it was limited. For this reason, Adam considered the area of Israel important and accepted settling down there. You may say if Adam had longed for the area of Egypt, he could have moved there, couldn't he? Well, Adam would not have left the place where there was a spiritual passageway. Also, Adam's situation at the time was like that of the sinner sent into the exile. He was not in the position to go anywhere else he wanted. Even if he could, he had to walk there. It was like when he took a UFO as a transport in the past. In fact, during the years when Adam lived on the earth, he didn't go to the area of Egypt, but only missed it. Dear brothers and sisters, with the background information, let's now take a look at Genesis chapter 4:1. It says, Now the man had relations with his wife Eve, and she conceived and gave birth to Cain, and she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. When Adam and Eve lived in the Garden of Eden, they gave birth to countless children. After they came down to settle down the earth, they also gave birth to many children. To get children on the earth, however, was different from when they were in the Garden of Eden. It was because their bodies were changed from that of the living being to the fleshly man. Since they had the body of the living being in the Garden of Eden, they were able to control their bodies as they pleased. Both in the Garden of Eden and on the earth, the principle is the same, a sperm and an egg combined to conceive the new life. In the Garden of Eden, however, the new life is conceived only when the parents want to have a baby. Only when they make a love to conceive the baby are a sperm and an egg produced. However, on this earth, the period of egg being produced was limited. Conception of the baby is possible only during this period. In this land, there's a time when women can become pregnant, so when a queen had to give birth, the queen's maids calculated the date of the baby's birth and planned it to process up to the time of delivery. Also, in Garden of Eden, pregnant women hardly felt any pain. In Eden, there are no painful symptoms before or after pregnancy. And the children are born without difficulty. On this earth, however, moms suffer from much greater pain. Eve, she may have had a serious morning sickness. She may also have various symptoms due to charge in her body. It's same in her delivery. Just as God said to Eve, I will greatly multiply your pain in the children's birth. It was fulfilled. That is when Eve gave birth in Eden, there was pain, but it was a very minimal. But when she came to the earth and gave birth, she felt much more trouble and pain. Among our congregation, those who have entered the spirit world or have come close to the experience very easy childbirth, they don't experience much pain, and because they gave birth with a faith, they have an easy delivery. In the Garden of Eden, as soon as a child is born, substances are no longer needed in the mother's body break down and disappear. When she delivers the child, everything is over and it becomes clean. Compared with that in the Garden of Eden, childbirth on earth is truly painful. Eve gave birth to so many children in the Garden of Eden. However, she herself suddenly experienced that the situation had change it. The excitement and the feeling she had when she gave birth to the child was completely different. When she was in Eden, giving birth was easy. Her body didn't change, and giving birth to another child was not difficult or problematic at all because she was a spiritual living being without getting aging. So there was no pain, just minimal pain. But when she gave birth to the child in this land, it was different, and emotions were new. In Genesis chapter 4:1, after she gave birth to Cain, she said, "I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." What did she feel at the moment? When she was giving birth in the Garden of Eden, she didn't realize the grace of God. Though she knew God was the origin of life, she herself could control whether or not to conceive. There has never been a case where she had a child when she didn't want one, or vice versa. Therefore, she didn't honestly realize it under the grace of God to conceive the baby and to give birth. Once she came down and lived on earth, the situation was completely different. She couldn't have a baby whenever she wanted to. She had to follow the law of nature God set. In other words, in order to conceive the baby, the period to conceive and all conditions had to be met. In such a new environment, she learned that it is completely by God's grace to have a children. She realized that she couldn't have a children with her own will, but that God has to work for her to have a children. She finally understood that power to open or close her womb belongs to God. The example of God opening or closing the womb are found in many parts of the Bible. Genesis chapter 20:18 says, "For the Lord had closed fast all the wombs of the household of the Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife." And Genesis chapter 29:31 says, "Now the Lord saw that Leah was unloved, and he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren." In addition to the ones mentioned, Isaac, Samson, Samuel, and John the Baptist were born by the work of God. Regarding this, Psalm 127 chapter 3 says, Behold, the children are the gift of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. By the way, there's the fact hidden in her words when she said, I've gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord. Eva was thankful to God who gave her child, and she said, I've gotten a man-child. Why was she thankful for having a son? In fact, Adam and Eve already gave birth to many children on the earth. Before they had Cain, they were all daughters. After giving birth to many daughters, they finally had their first son. And so their emotion in having this child was greater. God explained to me why they had to have daughters first. For human cultivation, people should prosper, and so it was reasonable that God gave Adam and Eve daughters first. Adam is now cast out and brought down to this earth. Now, bleak it must be. Eden is where their children live forever, but when he first came down to the earth, it was just him and his wife. How desolate must their life have been? Compared to the Garden of Eden, where their children's naked and just enjoyed without any pain, countless their children enjoyed their non-trouble life. But they just two on earth at the first, so they diligently gave birth. Knowing the size of the earth, they had to diligently spread their descendants here. Now, let's take a look at Genesis chapter 4:2. It says again, She gave birth to his brother Abel. In addition to their first son, Cain, they gave birth to another son. He was Abel. By the way, Genesis chapter 5:3-4 says, When Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own likeness, according to his image, and named his Seth. Then the next days of Adam, after he became the father of Seth, were 800 years, and he had another sons and daughters. Besides those recorded in the Bible, Adam had many children on earth, and when he was 130 years old, he had a son named Seth. At the age of 130, Adam gave birth to Seth, and he lived 800 years more while giving birth to another sons and daughters. FYI, Adam's age was counted from the year when he settled down on earth. After Adam settled down on earth, he gave birth to many daughters, but Cain was his first son. And then Abel was his second son. At the age of 130, he had a third son, Seth. The Bible mentions only three sons among all children of Adam and Eve, Cain, Abel, and Seth. However, there are more children whose names are not recorded in the Bible. They gave birth to many children between Abel and Seth, and after Seth, they gave birth to many more children. The Bible records only the names of those who bore significant meaning in the history of human cultivation. Usually, it's the name of those who carried on their family line who were recorded. Now, Genesis chapter 4:2 ends by saying, And Abel was a keeper of a flock, but Cain was a tiller of a ground. The Bible again skips to provide a background of this verse. Among the many children, Adam and Eve loved Cain and Abel especially. These two sons were born when they were both difficult and hard, and they brought them great comfort and joy. Especially Adam loved Abel more, and Eve loved Cain more. And so Adam and Eve let these two sons take over the family occupations. Meanwhile, as other children grew up, a proper share was allotted to them, and they were to leave their parents. When children live together, they inevitably fight and get hurt by jealousy and envy. They also need to expand their territory, and so Adam made them independent so they could run their own businesses. Then they set up their lives in distant places, had families, and gave birth to their own descendants, and they prospered. Unlike today, there were far fewer harmful elements such as disease and germs. Therefore, the population was able to increase very rapidly. At the time, it was not yet the time when sin was rampant, nor was it the time when disease and such things were rampant. In the book of the Exodus, the 70 members of Jacob's family increased to over 2 million people in 400 years. There are 600,000 men. There are also elderly people, women, and the children, all counted, it's over 2 million. In the beginning of the human cultivation, people gave birth for over many hundreds of years. You can say that there were almost no cases of children going wrong or dying. So at the time, Adam and Eve's children multiplied at a rate that is hard to imagine. Even during the Noah's flood, a family of eight ultimately remained, and they procreated and multiplied, spreading their descendants across the earth. Knowing this background, the knowledge will help you better understand Genesis chapter 4. Whenever necessary, I will continue to provide you with such information. Let's go back to where we were. The family occupation that Cain and Abel took over were tilling the ground and keeping the flock, respectively. Adam passed down the knowledge and the skill necessary for their occupation. Adam had the knowledge and the wisdom abundant enough to control and rule over the first and the second heavens. It was the knowledge that God the Father taught him as he lived in the Garden of Eden for countless years. Adam and his descendant in Eden, possessed such advanced technology that they were able to build and operate the UFOs. This was the reason of their long years of the development in Eden of Garden. Because the scientists and the theologians of this land do not understand the spiritual world. The Bible is not explained. That's why they say human history is only 6,000 years. UFOs have been around for a long time. Photos have been taken here and there. And many countries have acknowledged their existence, but some people still deny their existence. It's nonsense. There are so many evidence UFOs exist. Because Adam came here from Eden in a UFO and built the pyramid, holds many mysteries that cannot be solved even without even with our current technology. It also hides many mysterious secrets. All of this is advanced skill and the knowledge that Adam learned and acquired from God the Father while living in the Eden for countless years. To adapt himself to the life on the earth, he used his rich knowledge. Therefore, you should not assume that Adam might have believed the primitive life when he began to live on earth. The idea that primitive man accidentally discovered fire, as we learned in school, is just speculation and not true at all. From the very beginning, Adam possessed the wealth of the knowledge, knowing everything from farming and the shepherding to use a fire from the very beginning. Of course, since he began with nothing, he couldn't build a sophisticated civilization. Even if you are a computer expert, if you were left on an island and asked to build a computer, would you be able to do that? It will probably be difficult even if that takes the decades or hundreds of years. How long would it take the best electrical engineer to reconnect the electricity to a place where a civilization was inalienated? Even given hundreds of years, it wouldn't be easy. He knows it all, but he has to start from scratch in a primitive environment. He has to dig up the railroad, connect the electricity, and so on. It's a process that's hard to imagine. He has to do it all by himself, and when else would he be able to teach it to someone else? He could at least write it down. For example, even if you have the knowledge, ability, and the wisdom to assemble a computer, when you are alone on a deserted island, you cannot create a computer soon, if at all. If you try to make all the parts and everything that goes into it, because it's not enough time. Likewise, even though Adam had outstanding knowledge and wisdom, it took a long time to put them to use. And no matter how much time passes, there are still many areas that cannot be realized while Adam is alive. First and foremost, he needed to make a living. So he began making farm tools and farming. He knew all too well that iron tools would be beneficial, but where could he get iron back then? So he left his knowledge in writing only. He made tools, cutlery, and other utensils from readily available stone and the wood. Yes, just right. The material he can see and the nearby, like a stone and the wood. He could only apply his knowledge and wisdom to the primary industrial sector, which directly utilized nature. Adam knew well about the futures of all animals, including the domestic herd animals. He also knew well about the process of how planted seeds sprout and grow up and bear fruits. Using such a knowledge, he could till the ground and keep the flocks. And then later, he passed on his experience and knowledge to his sons. Back then, people lived for hundreds of years. He taught the first son Cain how to farm and his second son Abel how to keep the flock. If you were Adam, you would have taught your children not only how to farm but also how to handle animals. If you had several children, you would have taught them in various ways according to their abilities. Farming was an essential job to get food, but why do they need to keep the flocks? They didn't even eat the meat back then. The fact that wool was beneficial to their lives was one reason, but there was another very important reason. It was to give a sacrifice to God when worshiping God. How to worship God is recorded in the Leviticus. It was the words that Moses received from God on Mount Sinai. This period of time was about the 2,500 years after Adam had settled down on earth. However, Adam already knew how to worship God. It was because God taught him how to worship God. Even after Adam and Eve were driven out, God still wanted to communicate with them. God did not abandon them, but began to cultivate the humanity through them. According to seasons, he let them know what was necessary, and he wanted to receive the aroma of their hearts. A man who committed sin, however, cannot communicate with God. And thus, God taught Adam how to be forgiven of sin and how to communicate it with God. It was the law of our worship. There are many different ways to worship God. The sin offering was offered to be forgiven of a sin. According to the law of the spiritual realm, the wage of a sin is death. Those who commit sin go to the way of death. However, when they gave a sin offering according to the law, they could be free from sin. That was by transfer of the sin of a sinner to an offering and to kill the offering instead. These offerings of the sacrifice were the sheep. And so Adam kept the flock, and he passed down how to keep the flock to his son. Moreover, he taught his children in great detail about God the Creator and how to communicate with God. The reason was because it was such an important way they could meet and experience God. Adam knew this and taught his children how to communicate with God. However, as time passed by, this way of worshiping God gradually deteriorated. And a serious problem occurred. I will tell you about this next lecture. Dear brother and sister, in this lecture, I explained the process of Adam and Eve coming down to the earth and settling down. They settled down in the area that is Israel today. After giving birth to many daughters, they came to have Cain and the first son, and then they had another son, Abel. Adam began farming and shepherding with his abundant knowledge and wisdom, and passed it on to his sons. One of the important reasons they needed to sheep was to use them in a sacrifice to worship God. Adam longed for Egypt, right? Then he would have told his children, Egypt is a place I love. I've been there many times. I built the pyramids. Then his children would be so fond of Egypt. How much would they want to go to Egypt? Historically, Egyptian civilization was far ahead of other civilizations, even ahead of Greek and Western civilizations. Egyptian civilization is far ahead, about 5,000 years or 6,000 years. If scholars study this reason for this from the perspective of Genesis, they would discover much. However, this is not the case, which is truly regrettable. Through the sacrifice, they could communicate with God. The way of a sacrifice in the Old Testament is the practice of the worship today. Through the worship, God the Father talked to us and accepts the aroma of our hearts. Therefore, those who worship God well always receive God's protection and blessing. In the day of the Old Testament, they had to kill a sheep or a bull to offer as a sacrifice, but there's no need for that after Jesus offered himself as an atonement sacrifice to forgive the sin of all mankind. All they have to do is worship God by believing in Jesus Christ. Our Jesus said in John chapter 4, 24, God is a spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Just as he said, I urge you to prepare for a service with all your heart and mind and worship in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Father God is searching for the children who worship like this, and He gives answers to their heart's desire. Besides, those who worship like this can deeply communicate with God during the service. They can also enjoy the joy of heaven and experience a spiritual grace. I pray in the name of the Lord that all saints will receive the wonderful, wonderful blessing, both spiritually and physically, by offering the incense of that pleases the Father God at every worship service.
Hallelujah! Almighty Father God of love, please lay your hands on all brothers and sisters receiving this prayer here in attendance. Lay your hands on all the members of the branch churches and local centuries, and all the GCN TV viewers, and those who are watching via satellites, cables, and the internet all over the world, transcending space and time. Plant faith in their hearts and drive out their negative thoughts and doubts. Let all the trials and afflictions leave them. By the fire of the Holy Spirit, from head to toe, scorch their sick and affected parts, including all cells, tissues and nerves, all internal organs and intestines. Let the light of creation come upon them. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, all diseases, germs and viruses, and infirmities, go away. Let the light shine on them. Scorch their incurable and long-term diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Burn all kinds of endemic and contagious diseases like malaria. Be cleansed and made well. All epidemic diseases, such as colds and fever, go away from them. Protect them from any kinds of germs and viruses and bacteria. Heal them of all kinds of cancers, like stomach cancer, lung cancer, liver cancer, breast cancer, womb cancer, intestinal cancer, and all other diseases like AIDS, leukemia, cerebral apoplexy, high blood pressure, low blood pressure, heart disease, lung disease, diabetes, women's diseases, thyroid diseases, and all inflammations. Let them be made whole from polio, stroke, arthritis, herniated discs, and many others. Let all kinds of pains disappear from them, like back pain, headache, and neuralgia. Set them free from epilepsy, autism, depression, neurosis, and all other mental diseases. Loosen them from all kinds of paralysis, and let them get up, walk, and jump. Let them regain good eyesight and restore good hearing. Let the blind open their eyes, and the deaf come to hear, and mute begin to speak. Heal them of after effects of all kinds of accidents. Restore their ruptured and broken bones. Restore them from burns, and let the heat and burning sensation go away from them. Father, let there be no scars left. Be cleansed from all kinds of drug addictions and poisoning. Father, regenerate dead nerves, tissues, and cells, and bring the dead back to life. Father, please bless them to conceive a baby. Bless them to conceive a baby. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command the enemy devil and Satan, the ruler of the air, the evil forces and their servants, go away from them. Go away, you evil spirits, unclean spirits, deceiving spirits, spirits of falsehood, separating spirits, and all forces of darkness. Loosen all bonds of wickedness and darkness and go away from them. Let the light shine on them. Father God, give them strength to cry out in their prayer and empower them with the power to cast off sins and become sanctified. Let them be in good health as their soul becomes prosperous, and let their family be evangelized. Protect them from all kinds of accidents and disasters, and bless them to lead a successful and prosperous life in everything. Please protect your children, their home, their business, and their work by the fiery hedge of the Holy Spirit, with the heavenly host and angels, and with your blazing eyes. Give students wisdom and understanding, and fill their hearts with more passion and desire for study. Keep their hearts and minds from worldly things, and plant into their hearts more fervent love for God. Bless your children and let them give glory to you in everything they do, whether they eat or drink or whatever they do. Let them confess and testify to the living God, "I've met God, I've experienced God, and received His answers and blessings." Father God, thank you. Let all glory be to you alone. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.